Thanks for joining us from where you sit. A new segment we're doing here on When Fear Reigns talks to people about living their faith in the secular world. And today I'm talking to David Harris, a young man who's attending the University of Wisconsin at Madison and is enrolled at in the Marine Corps ROTC. I'm excited to talk with him and have him share with us what it's like to live his faith in a secular world, a major university that many of our listeners are familiar with, and then also with that military background, military service, what that looks like and how you can display your faith. Dave, it's good to have you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah. Dave, you're a senior at the UW in Madison there. I imagine school and everything else is deeply impacted by COVID, this strange world that we live in. Can you just share what your day-to-day looks like as you are headed back into the new semester here?
Yep. So currently, most of my classes are online. So I went to having 200-plus person classes all over campus to Zoom meetings, Google Hangouts, Microsoft Teamwork, and everything online, everything behind the computer screen with online tests, exams, homework. And being from Idaho and studying from here with a school that's thousands of miles away in Madison, Wisconsin, you tend to feel distant. But they're doing a good job using all their online resources to kind of keep you connected with your professors and getting the homework out and getting the schedule set up so that you can still get online tutoring if you need it. I'd say that the biggest change is that on campus, from what I've seen, if you're returning for in-person classes, you have to wear a mask every day, and they have hand sanitizers all around campus, and there's mandatory COVID testing taking place, and the classrooms are spread out so that there's 6 seats in between each student, which is much different from when you were crammed into like a little auditorium with 500 kids for Calc 1 or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's been a huge change, but I think this age of college students is very technologically savvy. So I don't think the transition is going to be that difficult for most students.
What about your, with the Marine Corps, are you like a lot of that drill, those drills have to be in person. You got to be there. It's not the same having the instructor yell at you from in the computer. So what is that like?
Yep. So this summer I graduated from Officer Candidate School in Quantico, Virginia, and we were the first group to go through during coronavirus. We were the only midshipman training to still occur during coronavirus. So we had a 2-week mandatory quarantine when we first got there. We're staying in a dormitory style barrack. And then once training starts, everyone's wearing a mask. The instructors are wearing a mask. You're still getting screamed at. You're still running around doing everything you normally would, except they're bleaching everything. You've got hand sanitizer on at all times. You're in that hot, humid Virginia air with a mask on, running up and down the tarmac there. So it was tough, and they made it extremely tough, and they used it to their advantage. But things are very tight with the military and very political. So everything was by the book, and getting tested, getting all your shots, making sure everyone wore their masks at all times just to take it down to eat and drink. And that's about it.
Wow. Yeah. So I imagine the physical exercise a little tougher with a mask on then. It's already tough.
It was bad. It was not fun. Like, you try to breathe in and the mask would suck into your mouth and you feel like you're suffocating out there. Yeah.
You're pretty much. Basically, especially with that humidity, you're waterboarding yourself.
That's right. It's a very good way to describe it, yes.
Oh, man. So kind of give me some insights on, I mean, the vocation, when we talk about calls, you know, God calling you into a life or a place, or you know, it kind of puts these things in your life and gives you skills for them and abilities and a passion for them. So just kind of walk us through, like, talk about both Madison. I mean, you're from Idaho. We're recording this. You're in your home in Boise, Idaho. Like, what drew you to Madison? What drew you to the UW system? And then what drew you to the Marine Corps that you were so compelled to go to both directions?
Yeah. So when I was younger, first off, my grandpa was a officer in the Navy and my dad was in the Marine Corps for 4 years. So when I was younger, I knew I wanted to join the military because I felt like that was something my family did. And I didn't do much about it until my junior year of high school. I applied for the four-year NROTC scholarship. So it's a program that they'll pay for all of your college, to, no matter where you want to go. And as long as you go through 4 years of ROTC and commission as an officer and serve a minimum of 4 years active duty and 4 years reserves, they'll pay for that, and it's the scholarship you're on. So I applied for that, went through the selection process. I picked up scholarship senior year of high school, and then I hadn't thought much about what colleges I wanted to go to. So I was watching college football on a Saturday, and I was watching the Badgers play. I think it was Notre Dame.
Okay.
And I was like, they've got a lot of fans there, and their stadium looks pretty cool. I think that'd be a nice place to go to school. So we looked into it with my family, and they had the on-campus ministry, which was kind of a very good check, like maybe this is the place I'm supposed to go. So I applied to that school and that school only, and I got in. And then it was definitely going to be an adventure for me, going from Boise, Idaho to Madison, Wisconsin, doing things on my own, getting out of the house, not being with my Boise church family, and kind of moving into a new campus ministry that I knew nothing about, in a state I knew nothing about. And then, but once I got out there, I kind of knew that place was for me, because as a freshman going through ROTC and you have all these new classes, the only thing that really felt like home was going to that on-campus ministry. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of why I keep going back to Madison. That's why I love being there so much, is because it feels like just an extension of being home, because I have my friends out there and I have my church family out there, and it's been a huge blessing moving thousands of miles away. So,
yeah, it's probably strange for a lot of our listeners to hear, who are Badger fans, have been all their life. You know, they probably got family members, if they themselves haven't, you know, they graduated from UW. It seems, it'll seem weird for them to hear that Madison is exotic and it's an adventure and it's far away from homes. It's, you know, it's the closest large school for a lot of our listeners. But for you, that was a lot of unknowns. You know, there was uncertainty that came with that.
Yep. I'd only toured the school once. I'd been out there once, and it was like February, and it was sleeting, and there was just a ton of snow on the ground. And I got off the plane and I walked outside, and it was blistering cold. And I was like, I should have applied to like University of San Diego or something. This is ridiculous, but it was the right choice in the end. I did.
So, I mean, because people are so familiar with UW-Madison, they'll know that college is not known to be a warm and welcoming atmosphere for Christians.
No.
Military, I remember hearing a military veteran, hearing a high school graduate was going into, a Christian high school graduate was going into the military. And he said, I remember him saying, I don't remember who this is, but he said to me, well, that'll fix his faith. It's also not known to be a place that's conducive and welcoming to expressions of faith and Christianity.
No.
Kind of talk through how you've navigated. I mean, those are places that are hostile to faith. How have you navigated those waters?
So starting with school, I would say when I first got there as a freshman, I didn't find too much resistance being a Christian. I was just going to church on Sunday and I thought, wow, this is great. But then once I got into kind of the science and history classes, and they start with, you know, hundreds of millions of years ago, and they say the world started with these two atoms, I'm kind of sitting there like, this is not right. This is not what I've been taught. This is not what I believe. And then, so you're sitting there on your first exam and they're asking questions about evolution, and you have to pick the right answer to get the grade. And it's not very, or they talk about how Jesus was a fictional character almost, and how he was made up to be a solution for people who didn't understand science. And you hear all these things and you kind of have to use your Christian filter in all your classes and think, what am I learning, and how much of this is biblically true, and how much of this is just science and history? And there is science and history out there to learn, but you have to make sure that you're keeping Jesus as the foundation of history and science, because if you don't understand that, you're not going to be able to understand science. And I've run into that talking to my professors, saying, how can you believe that Earth really started from these two things? And they get all upset, and then, you know, you end up just getting gaffed off. But it's been a challenge, but I think it's a good way for your faith to grow and be tested, because being in Boise, Idaho, going to a small school and being active with church, there was really nothing that was a threat to my faith until I moved all the way out there by myself. And, you know, going to, as a freshman, the only thing I knew that was close to home was campus ministry. But sophomore, junior year, I moved into a house with my friends, and then, oh, well, none of my friends are Christian, or none of my friends think going to church is like a cool thing to do. Mm-hmm. And then it's left up to you to get yourself up out of bed and get going to church. Mm-hmm. And it's hard, you know, like when it's negative 20 outside in the morning, and I didn't have a car out there sophomore year. So I just was looking outside, and I've got a 2-mile walk to the chapel. And, but you have to make time for keep the main thing, and make sure that you're feeding your faith as much as possible when you're in that hostile environment. Mm-hmm. And then as far as the military goes, this summer, my rack mate during officer candidate school, who I had been with since the start of quarantine, at the very end during the Crucible event, he asked me, you know, what do you think made you do so well in this final event? And I said, well, without God, I wouldn't have these abilities to do this, and I wouldn't have these talents. And he kind of laughs and goes, well, you're joking. What did you like, seriously? And I was like, no, like, that's really what I believe.
Yeah.
And he kind of thinks, and then from then on, it was kind of like, oh, well, he's using Jesus as a crutch. And, you know, he trusts in Jesus before he trusts in himself. And you have to think that those are just opinions of others. And then going through classes about how to deal with your Marines' personal issues as Christians, and as being in a Christian home, everything was, remember God's plan for you, and that God will forgive you no matter what. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, going to church will help you, remind you of this, but I can't say that to my Marines. I can't say, come to church with me on Sunday. I can't say, remember that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, because you're not allowed to push your faith onto people, and you're not allowed to invite them to your church because you can't influence their religious beliefs. So learning to kind of counsel people from a non-Christian standpoint while being a strong Christian is something that I anticipate is going to be quite a challenge once I commission as an officer next summer. But I'm excited to be able to do that and use my Christian abilities to not push on to other people, but to make me a better leader so that I can lead people and use my faith in Jesus as more of a strong foundation, instead of going off what I believe I've done for myself and what I've done that makes me a good leader. Because I feel a lot of people who join the military are not Christians. That's what I've run into. I haven't run into a single Wells member in the Marine Corps yet. And even on Sundays, I was digging through the spiritual fitness resource box, and there was no trace of like a Wells meditations or devotion, something I wasn't planning on finding, but it would have been cool. And so I think that being able to be a strong leader while being a Christian will set the example for possibly other Christians who are in the military to not be ashamed of, oh, well, he's a Jesus follower, so he's weak and he has to rely on some fictional character in their eyes to be a leader. And then, but I think a lot of people, that's a big misunderstanding, is that it's not that I don't have confidence in myself. I have confidence in myself because of God has given me the ability to do. And that's a lot of what they don't understand, but it's going to take a lot of, I'd say, educated counseling practice to be able to tell people that I'm a Christian, but in order to not lose any sort of trust with them.
Mm. I think a lot of Christians kind of have this idea that unless they're talking, kind of what you said, like, I believe in Jesus and he's forgiven all my sins, unless they're saying words like that, they're not really living their faith, or they're not letting their light shine, right, so to speak. But it sounds like you've found that's part of the equation, but there's a lot of living your faith and living from your principles and living from that value that Jesus gives, grants through his death and resurrection. Can you just kind of talk about how, like, people are obviously noticing something different about you, how your faith kind of comes out without you even talking about it? You know, the way you conduct yourself with other people, the way you carry yourself. Just talk about that a little bit.
So I'd say the main thing that if I were to look through someone else's eyes at me, a lot of times I'm more calm when things are getting chaotic. And while I was there, I said a prayer every night. And part of that prayer was remind me that if I do fail out of this school, if I do get injured, that it's not my will be done. It's not the Marine Corps' will be done. It's your will be done. So every day I woke up confident in thinking I've made it through another day. I'm just going to, God has given me this ability. So I'm going to work as hard as I can to get through this school if this is his will be done. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times people would be stressed out and they'd be stressing like, oh, I don't think I did well on my, you know, combat simulator. I don't think I did well on this event. And I'd think, well, I did as best as I could. And if it's up, you know, if God wants me to get through this school and I'm working as hard as I can, you know, there's nothing I can do about it. There's no point in stressing and being anxious and worrying about something that's now out of my control, because no matter how hard you want to be able to control your life and how much you want to plan out your life, God will shut doors and open new ones. And so you have to be able to be ready for that. And so I trying to be calm and being forgiving of other people and just maintaining that, okay, I'm not going to start swearing and I'm not going to cuss. I'm not going to scream. I'm not going to act like someone that I wasn't raised to be and that I wasn't raised by the church to be. Mm-hmm. So reminding myself that I'm a Christian first, and then I'm a midshipman, and then I'm going to be a Marine, and then I'm a college student at Madison. But the foundation of that is that you're a Christian leader, you're a Christian student at Madison. And that's kind of how I try to incorporate being a Jesus follower into my life, is having that attached to everything else that I want to be.
Mm. You talked a little bit about, you know, when you come across that stuff in a class that says hundreds of millions of years ago, that Jesus is a fictional character. Did you, as you look back, do you see things or events or people maybe that really prepared you for that? Or was that all just kind of brand new and you're walking into it having to trust? Were there inflection points, and, you know, how did your family and your church family kind of play a role in getting you ready for that? Talk about mentorship and
yeah. So I would say, the high school I went to was pretty small. I graduated with 17 other students in my senior class, and I was never met with any sort of, we didn't have classes like that. It was very general. It was very religion neutral. There was nothing that I encountered as being oppressive to my faith at all. Mm-hmm. And then as I made the choice to go to Madison and kind of learning about what Madison is like as a school and how they're very, they're welcoming to everybody, but the campus itself doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be welcoming of your faith. Mm. And my mom, and I think it was Pastor Zimpelman, because he's been to Wisconsin, he's been to Madison before, and he had told me, just remember that when you're there, just because no one's there to get you to go to church, that doesn't mean that you can't still be a Christian by yourself. And you're going to meet resistance with people who don't like the way you think, who don't agree with you, and they're going to think you're not intelligent for believing in Jesus. But you have to remember that what you know is right, and that you keep that about you as you go forth through your studies and as you meet all these people. And it shouldn't be, you shouldn't be afraid and think, I'm going to go to class and I'm going to get made fun of, or I don't want to meet this person because if they find out I'm a Christian, they're going to treat me differently, or they're not going to like me for who I am anymore. I need to hide my faith. That's not how it is. And being mentored by even my dad, who's a police officer, and he's a very strong Christian. And, you know, in his line of work, you really have to have a faith even through a lot of just a traumatic events and dealing with things that are out of your control and dealing with, you know, death. And it's being a strong Christian was very important transition period. So a lot of kids go away from home and they're just homesick. But then sometimes you go away from home, and for a Christian, like, you're church sick, and you don't, like, you wake up on Sunday and I'm going to a church where I know absolutely no one here. I'm sitting by myself in the last pew from the back, and they're new. It's not, you know, Miss Kepsel playing the piano, and it's not Pastor Steinbrenner up there. It's someone completely new. But making sure that it's not who's there that matters, it's what they're teaching that matters. So keeping God's truth at the core of your transition and at the core of everybody you meet is what's mm-hmm. been, I think, a positive mentorship for me. It was just knowing that people have done this before. There's people I know that are Christians in a hostile world, and getting to hear their stories and how they coped with it was very important for me joining the military and going to Madison.
Mm-hmm. Now, as you look back, your senior year, you know, you've got a little bit of, you're kind of past the hump of freshman year and sophomore year when everything's new and you're really trying to piece things together. As you look back, what would you like to see maybe your church or churches in general do to support Christians going off to school, Christians going off to, like, what kinds of friendships or what kinds of relationships, what kinds of preparation would do you think is maybe missing that you'd like to see churches help their young people with?
I think a lot of times I think being in a youth group is a very positive thing because it allows you to meet with people of like faith in the mm-hmm. same faith. But the reality is for the future of a lot of these kids is you're going to go into a college where you don't have that, where there's no youth group for you. You know, you're going into a world where it's a hostile environment and people don't believe in Jesus and they don't like that you believe in Jesus. So I think if you could have opportunities for kids and even encouraging them more so than already now, but to be a Christian in that hostile world. So when you go to, you know, a public high school, and it's mm-hmm. probably similar to going to a university where there's a lot of there's a disconnect between being a Christian in high school and being a, like, having your peers understand what being a Christian means, mm-hmm. but not being afraid to be a Christian. I think that would be a positive thing, just to kind of have speakers or other mentors come in and say, I came to Madison, I was a student and I was a Christian in a hostile environment, and this is kind of how I coped with it. This is how I dealt and maneuvered through this period of my life, or this is what in the military I encountered. So that mm-hmm. way, when you get there, you can think, this isn't the exact same situation as I've heard, but this is a similar situation. And I mm-hmm. know that someone else has gone through something similar. So I think introducing kids to Christians from a hostile environment would be a great way for them to look at Christians as not only being, these are the people I see on a Sunday every morning, but like when you're in the military, you're not going to be able to go to church every Sunday. You're not going to be allowed to go to church when you're at officer candidate school or going through training. So making sure that it's possible and that it's doable to be a Christian and still not have a Christian-friendly environment or even foundation around you. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be a great tool for kids to have as they move on to high school, college, and even into careers that aren't Christian-based.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you hit on something there. There are a lot of careers where Christianity and Christian values or worldview are not necessarily welcome. So a lot of people are going to face that at some point, whether it's at college or it's in the military or later on in a career. I like that, to kind of get ready for that and be able to see that people have gone through that, people have lived through that, and that you're not the first one.
Right.
And that, you know, be honest about that story. If that Madison graduate failed and messed up and sinned, that there is restoration, there's forgiveness there too. I think that's a really good thing.
Yes. And I believe that, and I've told, other people that are thinking of going to Madison who are Christians, or even some other kids that I've encountered that are Wells there, and they go, this is kind of a difficult place to be a Christian. And I say, I'm not perfect. I mean, I've woken up on a Sunday and thought, I don't feel like going to church tonight, mm-hmm. and I haven't, or I've gone out and I've, you know, I've sworn in front of people, and I kind of think this is not a Christian way to do things. But you have to remember that just because you're on a sinful campus doesn't mean that you have to buy into all of that, and that you still need to remember that God forgives you. And it's not to say I can go out and just fall from God's word for 4 years and he'll forgive me. Mm-hmm. He will forgive you, but you need to remember that being a Christian is the main thing. Mm-hmm. It's hard to be a student and be a Christian at Madison. It is, but if you can be a Christian first, it'll make being a student a lot easier than the other way around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think as you've, you know, part of your own story is other people, your bunkmate, like recognizing your faith, and to be able to take that light to someplace like Madison, and be an influencer, be somebody that others look to and start to ask, what is this faith that you believe in?
Right.
Well, there's something different there. Not don't waste those years, right? Those are prime time to be able to share your faith and live your faith. To kind of shelve your faith for 4 years or 5 years, however long it takes you to get through, is kind of a waste of those years.
And even though people may not like you for being a Christian when you encounter them, that doesn't mean to say that a couple of days down the line, they'll think, wow, I remember talking to that David kid and how he seemed so sure of his faith and he wasn't stressed out, you know, going through, you know, like this tough time, or he wasn't going through finals. He's not, oh, you know, overly anxious because he believes in, and he says that Jesus is the foundation of his trust.
Yeah.
And then they might, and even though they might not agree with you at the time, that's not to say they'll, a couple of days or even a couple of years down the line, they'll think, well, maybe that's something I should research, or maybe I don't know enough about that. And then they'll research it and get into it. And that's a way to plant the seed with people, is that planting the seed might not be a very favorable encounter. People may be hostile towards you, but that's not to say that the Holy Spirit isn't working something in them after that conversation.
Yeah, sure worked on Paul in the Bible, right?
That's right. Yes.
Right. Dave, thanks so much for talking. Thanks for your honesty today. It's been great to talk with you and kind of get your perspective and insights on living and being a Christian and to kind of hostile territory. Yeah, it's been really good and really insightful. I pray that God kind of go with you and strengthen you in the midst of all that. I know you've got, you know, you're going to get commissioned and then 4 years of active duty at least, and then 4 years of a reserve after that. So you got some road ahead of you a little bit.
I do.
For our listeners, thanks for listening in. If you have any questions, comments, whatever, please email info@windfearreigns.com. Love to hear your feedback. You can always go on our social media, onto our website or on our Facebook page or our Instagram page. Like what's going on there. Follow. We have a discussion group, Facebook group. If you search discussion group, Windfear Reigns, we'd love to have you join us for the conversation that happens after every podcast. And as you listen, take a minute to rate and share the podcast. If you, whatever you're listening on, if it's Apple Podcasts or something in Google or Spotify, you can rate it right there. And that really helps people find this podcast and benefit from it. Hope to see you next time. And in the meantime, pray that this podcast, this episode has helped make room in your life for the fear of God to reign.